Today is Trinity Sunday. It is also Father's Day, and I think it's just nice that the two go together, because Father is so important to us in our understanding of God and also what He means to us. My sermon title today is To Know God is to Know Him. To know God is to know Him. And when we know Him, we know more about God. If you want to follow the message, there is an insert in the bulletin with a summary of the points that I'll be sharing with you this morning. This is the holiday month for many of us Singaporeans. My daughter, who has two Labradors, went on holiday and decided that, well, since the parents are here, let them take care of one of the dogs. And it's a lovely dark brown Labrador, very friendly. And in the course of staying with us over a 10-day period, he has learned how to identify my wife and I. As far as he is concerned, his name is Wilbur. He identifies my wife with food. He identifies me as someone who takes him out for walks. That's as best as he could possibly identify us. That's all right for a dog. But when we think about human beings and our identities, we know that it is more complicated than that. There are many more things to think about when we think about the identity of people that we know, and ourselves included. That's why the identity card or IC and the passport, they are very important to us, especially when we travel. Imagine what it is like when you lose your IC or your passport, particularly in a foreign country. Think of the huge amount of stress that you go through, knowing that now you don't have an identity because you don't have something to prove who you are. I'm sure, like me, you will also take pictures of your passport and IC to make sure that it's kept in your smartphone, so that wherever you go, even if you lose these important documents, you still have them around. Identity matters. It matters to us in terms of our credibility. Who are you? Are you credible or not? It also matters because of legitimacy. So that's why we find that we are concerned about our identity. Now this morning we are focusing on not our identity, but more the identity of our God. Many people believe in a God, or they believe in gods. And some may even say that there's only one God, because all roads lead to heaven. But as far as we Christians are concerned, we are particular about knowing our God because we believe in relating personally to our God. Our God is someone whom we believe that we should relate to. And there can be no relationship with a God whom we do not know his identity. What kind of a God would that be? God be if we do not know what is his identity? There can also be no deep relationship with a God whose identity we have a superficial knowledge of, or we have fake perception of as well. We can't go very deep in our relationship with such a God. Just as if two persons come together, they decide to get married, there must be a relationship that exists first between the two parties. No two strangers will come together to get married unless they are scamming others. Otherwise, they make sure that they know each other, they know the identity of the other person. So today, Trinity Sunday, gives us an identity of who our God is. And the Trinity is a distinctive identity of our God. It is a mysterious identity because it is difficult to fully understand how three persons can be one and the way they relate to each other, and yet the same person. Yes, it is a mystery, but it is a distinctive identity that we have as Christians of who our God is. In this short passage from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, Paul reveals God to us from the perspective of the Trinity. So if you read carefully that passage, you realize that the three persons are mentioned and how each of these three persons complement one another in order to achieve God's purpose and plan for his people. Firstly, we see that God, in his desire to achieve his purpose and plan, wishes to have a righteous, transformed, and renewed relationship with us, or rather we with him, that our relationship with him should be righteous, renewed, and transformed. And secondly, through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through reconciliation with God because of the works of Christ. And thirdly, through the Holy Spirit, we receive the love of God into our hearts. And not only do we receive the love of God into our hearts, but we also have the understanding of the truths of God. In John 16, verses 13 to 18, the Holy Spirit is the one who is to guide us into all truth. He is a spirit of truth. He guides us into all truth. So when you think about these three persons in the Trinity and what happens through them, you realize that the triune God that we have enables us to have eternal hope, the eternal hope of God's glory, as Paul says. In other words, we think not only of the present, but we think also of the future. At this point in my life, I think very much of the future. I rejoice that I have a future that is eternal, a future that will enable me to experience the glory of God. But we still live on earth at this present moment, so there is a present hope besides the eternal hope. And this present hope is the hope of the love of God. As we persevere in this life, as we go through the difficulties, the challenges that we face daily, we have hope today that God's love will be with us. So in the triune God, we find that God's objectives and achievements are accomplished in the triune God. And therefore, we see the importance of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today happens also to be Father's Day. And also, therefore, we want to look at God's identity from the perspective of our Father in the Trinity. I want to suggest that our Heavenly Father pulled out all the stops in the Trinity for our sake. How did he do that? Well, as God, he gave himself humbly in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. And in Jesus, his Son, he sacrificed himself as man for our sins, willingly suffered humiliation, and died an agonizing death on the cross. And as the Holy Spirit, the Father continues to be with us in power and presence so that you and I can live the life that Christ called us to. So our Heavenly Father is fully involved in our lives in the Trinity. Now, Heavenly Father's love is given to us fully, we know, in Jesus Christ. And he continues to do that by his Spirit who has been promised to us. We have been celebrating Pentecost Sunday, in which we remember the Holy Spirit and his work. And in John's Gospel, we read about the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit continues to be with us today. And this is very important, because in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God promised his people, he says, that I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future and a hope. Very encouraging word from God to his people. I have a plan for you. There is already in my mind something I want to see happen in the future and the hope that you will have. And you know, as we think about this promise of God, we think of who we are today as we remember the triune God, that it is through the triune God today that we see the fulfillment of the plan of God in our lives. That God's plan for us with a future and a hope is being fulfilled in our midst, in the lives of his children. Of course, in those days, there was nothing said about the triune God. But today, as we remember the triune God, as we celebrate and honor the triune God, we know that this plan, the plans that he has for us, has come into fruition in our time. How wonderful. A cause for celebration and rejoicing. How do we respond to God the Father? I want to suggest two things that we should think about, that we can do to respond to this triune God and our Father, our Heavenly Father. First of all, we respond to God, our Father, in the Trinity by worshiping him. Now, we may say, well, you know, this is something I know about, something that I do every time I come to church on Sunday, I'm worshiping God. Well, yes. People respond to their gods in worship because it is in us as human beings to want to respond to God in worship. We are created in the image of God. There is something in each one of us, whether we are believers or not, that seeks after that higher spiritual being. We are fortunate in having found the one true God, but others continue to seek after the God that in their hearts, in their soul, in their spirit, they long to know and to worship. And so a lot of people worship their gods out of fear of their God, whom they really do not know very much about, but for whom they are fearful of. Or they worship God out of self-interest, because I want something from this God that I'm worshiping. And I make material offerings to this God to appease this God, to please him. Or I do good deeds. Why? Because I want to gain the favor of this God. I want to gain merit, so I do good deeds. And how people worship their God reflects how they see their God. So the perception of their God, therefore, is determined by the way they worship their gods. But we who worship the God of the Bible, the triune God, we worship him because we see him worthy to be worshipped. Already when we look at the work of God in the Trinity, there's so many reasons why we find God worthy, the triune God worthy to be worshipped. And if God is worthy to be worshipped, then we should try and understand what worshipping God means. It means honoring God. Worship means honoring God. And we honor God not only with our lips, which is the easiest thing to do, but also in our life and the example that we show to others. So that will then indicate to us how much we really honor God, how much we really worship God in our life and example. We worship also by seeking to live a life that is pleasing to him. Romans 12, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we should become a living sacrifice. And this is what we are reminded of every time at a communion service towards the end, that we will be living sacrifices to God as a form of spiritual worship. So our lives should be lived in such a way that is pleasing to him, that he will commend us for the way we live, and that becomes a living sacrifice. To worship God is also to testify to a loving and living God and Father. When it comes to opening our lips to testify, it is to let others know who are still seeking after God, what our God is like, why he's worthy to be worshipped. A loving and living God deserves to be testified, to be made known, because that's what many people are seeking after. To worship God also is to seek His perfect will. As we serve God, knowing what His will for us is, and to serve God with joy, with gratitude, to be able to say that, "Thank you, Lord, that you see me fit to be serving you, fulfilling your will and your purpose." What a joy it should be for us to be able to serve this God that we know who's worthy to be worshipped. So, in actual fact, worship means our whole life. Our whole life should be an act of worship. In anything that we do 24/7, it should be an act of worship unto God. As we recognize God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And may I suggest that we actually satisfy our spiritual and emotional desires and need as well for God by worshiping Him rightly and fully. That in each one of us, as we seek after God, which is part of our nature, then our spiritual and emotional desires and needs are satisfied through the act of worship that we give unto God. And that if we do not worship this God who is worthy to be worshipped, our spiritual and emotional needs are not being met. So that's why worship is so important as we respond to the God of the Trinity. Secondly, we respond to God our Father in the Trinity by relating to Him, by having a special relationship to Him that is different from the relationship that we have with one another. And I say this because God desires a relationship with each one of us. It is a desire of our living God to have a live relationship with us, not just a relationship that we talk about, but a relationship that is actual and real. Possible in Christ because He has brought us near to God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that this relationship with God can be real. When you think about the relationship in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is a very close, intimate relationship. A relationship that exists that enables the purpose of God to be fulfilled. And this is the kind of relationship that God wants to establish with us. That what He was able to relate to the Son and the Holy Spirit and they to Him, He wants to also relate to us in closeness, in fellowship, and in intimacy. And this is really a relationship of blessing. We should not think of a God who makes demands upon us, who's domineering, who's controlling, who's stifling, because sometimes we fear a relationship because we think that that relationship will destroy us. But a relationship with God will never destroy. A relationship with God always is a blessing. And so we should never resist the call of our Heavenly Father to draw near to Him. When He draws us to Him, He calls us to be near to Him, it is because of His love for us. It is out of His love that He draws us to Himself. It is out of His love that He wants to establish a relationship with us. So we should not fear this God, our Father, because He's only thinking of us and His love for us. And do you know that God actually honors us by desiring to have a close and intimate relationship with Him? It is because of us as His children. And because He loves us so much, He honors us, sinners as we are. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to come to me. So it is an honor that God extends to us, sinners as we are, to be able to relate to this living God and to know that He desires this relationship because He loves us and He wants to be a blessing to us. Since it is Father's Day, I want to share something about my father, my earthly father. I lost my father when I was very young, when I was 18 years old. That's more than 50 years ago. He was in his early 60s. He didn't have very good health. Off and on, he was plagued by a lot of medical problems. In those days, medical sciences wasn't that great, even though he went to see specialists and all that. So he was a father that belonged to the old school. And the old school father is one that is firm but loving, caring in providing for the needs of the family. And I know that he worked very hard to build up a business. And because he worked so hard after he left us, he provided for us in the growing up years, because we were without a father then, after his death. But I never knew my father, not because he was never at home. He was always at home. In fact, he took time off because of his ill health to rest at home. But I see him physically, but I never knew him emotionally and socially, because he was either sleeping because he needed to rest, or was thinking about his business. And because he belonged to the old school, where the fathers of those of that generation do not really relate very much to their children. That's left more to the mothers. And I remember that the only time that I really sat down seriously to have a talk with him was in my latter teens, thinking about my future education. I remember sitting at a dining table in the dining room. We had this huge round table that sit eight of us. I was sitting at one end. He was walking past in the living room or dining room, and he sat down. Now, he didn't come next to me to sit down with me. He sat directly opposite me, the furthest part of the table. You know, it looks like a business meeting. But that's him. And we talked, and that was the first time that I really had a serious talk with him about my future, my education. And I knew that in those short, precious moments, I began to know a bit about my father. And that short period of time is what I continue to treasure as I think about my father. But that was it. That was it. So he left us without me having really developed a close and intimate relationship with him. And you know, when I came to serve the Lord, when God called me to serve him, albeit reluctantly, not that he was reluctant to call me, I was reluctant to respond to him. My relationship with my father affected me, my relationship with God, because we are much influenced by our upbringing. What happens in our upbringing impacts us in our later life as we grow up. So I came to know Jesus Christ personally, but that was as far as it goes. A personal salvation that I received in Jesus Christ, but I never really actually went on to develop a close and intimate relationship with God. I was thinking about how to be a good minister, how to be a good pastor, how to know more about God. So I read up a lot about God, I studied about God. It's all about God, and hardly anything to do with a close and intimate relationship with God. But God did something that I didn't realize. He created a deep hunger in me for him, and I didn't realize that. Because there was a spell of time when I was very dissatisfied. I didn't know what was happening. In fact, it was bad enough for me to have experienced burnout. It wasn't because I was doing too much work. I guess I didn't know what I was really doing and what all this means and what is more important is not being met because of the fact that I wasn't relating to God in a deeper personal way. And so he created a deeper hunger in me. And it's only after some time that I realized that I have this hunger. And I couldn't understand why. Why did I have this hunger for God? You know, I'm not very spiritual. Far from it. I'm not really a pious person. I mean, I know what sin is. I recognize sin and the evil of sin and all that. But I was not a religious. I mean, if I wear the collars, that's being religious. But other than that, you know, I wasn't really a pious person. But I found that I had this deep hunger for God. And I took action. I went away for a period of a 30-day retreat, silent retreat, to seek after God. And that's the most wonderful time of renewing ties with God at a deeper, personal, and intimate way. You know, if I think of the time that I came to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that was a milestone. This is the second milestone. Someone else who went through the same experience with me says that this is like being born again and again. And I think that's true. If it means that you draw closer to God, if it means that your heart is inflamed by the love for God and a desire, a hunger to relate closely to God, then this is indeed being born again, again. So my perception of God has changed. It is not only knowing about God, but knowing God. But of course, it has to start first with knowing God in order to know Him. And when I know Him, then I know more about this God. So it's like something secular whereby you know God in order to know Him relationally. And as you relationally know God, you come to know more about who is this God. So my understanding of God has deepened tremendously, especially as I think of how, in order to satisfy this deep hunger for God, I need to be aware not only of spiritual needs, but emotional needs as well. And that's why the emotionally healthy spirituality course is so important. And I want to encourage you to sign up for that, because it will blow your mind about knowing who you are, really are. You will understand yourself better. There is a greater degree of self-awareness. Oftentimes, we have a very poor sense of self-awareness. And so we find ourselves stunted in our spiritual growth. So sign up for that if you can, emotionally healthy spirituality. I understand that the vicar has also written something about that. My sharing with you is coincidental. I'm glad he wrote something about that in the bulletin this morning. So no longer did I just know about God, but now I know God through this close, intimate relationship with Him. And as I began to know this God, I began to know myself. You know, I believe it was St. Augustine who says that in order to know God, you've got to know yourself. And to know yourself will lead you to knowing God as well. What is your relationship with God as we think about Father's Day this morning? How are you relating to God, our Heavenly Father? If you have also this hunger, this desire to know more of God, this is a time to come out of that state of uncertainty and to say, yes, God, I want to know you more deeply, more personally. Thank you for drawing me closer to you. I want to be drawn closer to you. So draw closer to God, the Father, on this Father's Day. Because when you do that, then you will not only know about God, but that you will really, really know Him. And that's the most glorious experience that one can encounter. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.